Hi, this is Catherine Heineman. I'm a family practitioner. I formerly worked in Dillingham at Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation. I am now retired to West Virginia, but am coming back to talk about topics of interest, I hope, for the Bristol Bay.
Wonderful. And we are so happy to have you back on the air with us.
And I've just been visited by my dog, so let me get him off the papers that I prepared.
We're all working from home, so we are all dealing with these little distractions, and I'm sure everyone listening can sympathize. Obviously, this weekend is Valentine's Day. Our topic for this week is something that we talked about a year ago, which is sexually transmitted infections. What are some of the biggest concerns, and what are some of the biggest health risks from STIs?
I think the biggest concerns are the long-term effects of the sexually transmitted infections that one might get. And, of course, some sexually transmitted diseases can be treated and cured with antibiotics, and some sexually transmitted diseases cannot be cured but can be controlled. I'm just going to start off with the ones that can be treated with antibiotics. Most folks know about gonorrhea, which is also colloquially known as the clap or the drip, or at least it used to be known as that. And it is caused by a bacteria. You catch it by having sex with somebody that has the bacteria in their system already. For women, they may have a lot of vaginal discharge, but they don't have to. For men, they may have penile discharge, but once again, they don't necessarily have to. And you can have gonorrhea and not really know that you have it. That's why the recommendation is for sexually active women under age 25 to be tested every year for sexually transmitted infection. There's no current recommendation for men to be tested every year, but certainly men, if your partner calls you and says that she recommends you get tested, that's a good idea to go get tested and treated. Chlamydia is a second kind of sexually transmitted infection, also caused by a bacteria, also treatable easily with antibiotics. And chlamydia can often have no symptoms in either the man or the woman. Both of these diseases, however, can cause problems for both men and women. For instance, in men, chlamydia and gonorrhea can both cause difficulty with urination or pain with urination. And in some cases, they can be associated with infections that go to the testicle. In women, they can actually cause infections going up into the tubes that lead from the uterus to the ovaries and can contribute to infertility or the inability to have a baby. They can also cause pelvic pain, and this pelvic pain can be chronic. Curiously, both of them can also cause a kind of arthritis, so a pain in the joints. Whenever a woman is pregnant, she is tested for chlamydia and gonorrhea, both at the start of the pregnancy as well as about a month before delivery. And the reason is that if a baby is born to a mother who has chlamydia and or gonorrhea actively in the mother's vagina, the baby can get the infection in their eyes or potentially in their lungs, causing blindness or pneumonia in the baby. One of the diseases that I'm not 100% sure we even talked about last year was bacterial vaginosis. And this is kind of a funny disease. It is usually thought of as one of the normal bacteria in the vagina growing in abnormal numbers. It doesn't necessarily cause a problem for a woman other than a discharge and sometimes a bad smell to the discharge. But if she is pregnant, bacterial vaginosis can be associated with premature birth or having a baby too early. That's why that is also tested for and treated if it's found. Syphilis is yet another disease caused by a bacteria. And this one is even more important to be tested and treated because if it is tested for, found, and treated early, you can be cured of it. However, syphilis is a funny one because unlike gonorrhea or chlamydia or bacterial vaginosis, which you sometimes have a discharge with syphilis, it comes in stages. In the first stage, there can be a painless ulcer. So it's a sore that doesn't hurt. If you don't do anything about it, the sore goes away, but the syphilis germ is still in you weeks to months later. you may wind up with a rash. And once again, that rash, the rash of secondary villus, goes away on its own without you doing anything. Still, you are not clear of the disease. The disease has just gone into hiding. And months to years later, you can wind up with what's called tertiary syphilis, which can involve problems with the brain. So it's very important to get that kind of disease treated. With regards to syphilis in a pregnant woman, syphilis is associated with a very high rate of either miscarriage or stillborn infants or babies that die very shortly after birth. Syphilis can be cured, but only if it's tested for and only if you take treatment. And the treatment for syphilis happens to be injectable penicillin. Now, talking about some of the diseases that you can control but can't necessarily get rid of, genital herpes is certainly one. So herpes is caused by a virus. And if you have ever had a cold sore, you too likely have the herpes germ. Herpes cold sores tend to come and go, and they come and go under stress or with exposure to wind or with exposure to sunshine. Those are all things that can make a cold sore on your lip reoccur. A similar virus, another herpes virus, can also cause sores down in your private area. And that would be herpes simplex type 2, whereas cold sores are traditionally called herpes simplex type 1. It doesn't really matter which one you get because they can be in either place. After all, if you have oral sex with somebody, the germ can be spread from a lip to your privates, and there you've got the herpes germ. Usually the first attack of herpes is the most painful, and some people have one attack and never have another. Some people have attack after attack after attack. Fortunately, there is an antiviral medicine that can reduce the chances of herpes coming back and can reduce the chances of you spreading herpes and can reduce the length of time that you suffer from the outbreak of sores yourself. Herpes is usually diagnosed by a doctor basically by looking at the lesions, which look like a little cluster of blisters that hurt like the dickens. However, once again, if that cluster of blisters happens to be inside a person, inside a vagina, for instance, you might not feel them. If a mother has a history of having herpes, it is important that she let her doctor know, because if a baby is born through a vagina that has an active herpes infection going on, that baby can pick up herpes and it can cause a variety of illness in the baby that can be very dangerous for the infant. Fortunately, if you have a history of herpes sometime in the past and are pregnant, you can receive a medicine, that antiviral medicine I mentioned, for about the last month of the pregnancy, and that can reduce your chances of having an outbreak at the time of delivery.
I don't think we did talk about bacterial vaginosis last year.
I got two more diseases to go through.
Go for it.
Probably the most serious disease that one would think of that one can catch from having sex is HIV, or human immunovirus. This is the virus that leads to having AIDS. As I mentioned, there are medicines now that can definitely help control HIV so that you can live a long life with the disease. However, once again, you need to be tested. It's probably important for folks to recognize some of the risk factors for getting any of these diseases and the ways that you can keep yourself safer. Not having sex ever is the way to be the safest about not getting sexually transmitted diseases. However, that's not necessarily a condition in which most people want to live. Having sex with only one other person who is clear of diseases and you yourself are clear of diseases is the second best way. And using condoms to prevent as best you can the spread of disease from one person to another is important. Using condoms even if you are a male having sex with males or a female having sex with females, in which case there are female condoms, or you can use a dental dam, which is basically a piece of plastic sheeting that prevents you from having your saliva go onto the mucous membranes of your partner, are ways of reducing your risk. It is also important to know that there's one infection that probably, if you've had sex with anybody, you probably got this already. And that disease is human papillomavirus or genital warts. You get human papillomavirus from having sex with somebody that has it. And the difficult thing is that you could have the darn disease and not know you have it. Sometimes it causes visible warts. Sometimes it does not cause visible warts. And the most important thing to know is that human papillomavirus is also linked to cervical cancer. So that is why women should get pap smears on a regular basis to check for the presence of abnormal skin cells on the cervix that could be a sign of oncoming cervical cancer. Most folks who get human papillomavirus actually get over it. But in order to get over it, you could do some things that make it easier for your body to fight the virus off, such as getting plenty of sleep, eating right, and not smoking. Smoking, you're probably thinking, well, shoot, you use a different set of lips for that. But the bottom line is your body monitors and watches itself all the time for abnormal cells. It has an easier time finding abnormal cells if it only has to look in one place. If you're a smoker, it's got to look in your mouth and in your lungs and in your esophagus. And it just probably can't keep up with watching all the places that smoking can cause changes that lead to cancer. But on the plus side, there's a vaccine for this. I am amazed to be living in a time when we now have a vaccine that could prevent cervical cancer, and that vaccine is the HPV vaccine. It's recommended for anybody over the age of either 9 or 12, depending on which literature you read, and it's recommended for people up to the age of 26, and after age 26, it would be something that you could talk about with your physician about whether or not you would be appropriate to get that vaccine. The reason that it's kind of cut off at age 26 is most folks have had sex by age 26. The vaccine works best if it is given before you start having sex. It's not perfect. It doesn't prevent all cases of abnormal pap smears or all cases of cervical cancer, but it definitely can decrease your risk significantly.
All really good information and all really important to know if you're sexually active or if you're thinking about being sexually active. What are the most common questions that you have gotten throughout career about STIs, and what are some of the ways that people can address the stigma of STIs in order to be more responsible and healthier?
That is a fantastic question. Probably the most common question is, are you sure? And where did I get it? And those are not questions that I can necessarily answer. Some diseases, you figure out pretty quickly where you got it from, because if you have not had sex with anybody ever, have sex with one person, and then you wind up with an STI, you know where you got it. If you get one of the diseases, such as the HPV, the human papillomavirus, or the genital wart virus, that can be hidden for months to years, and you may never figure out where that came from in the first place. So far as overcoming the stigma of STIs, essentially forgive yourself for sleeping with whomever you slept with, and also know that whoever you slept with, you're sleeping with everybody that that person has slept with in the past. Even though one would feel awful upon hearing that they've got an STI, the important thing to know and to keep in the forefront of your mind is, number one, they are treatable. Number two, you have to be tested in order to figure out if you need to be treated. Number three, even if you cannot be cured, the symptoms can be controlled. Once you have been treated for some of these STIs, another question is, so when can I have sex again? For gonorrhea or chlamydia, it is very, very important that you take your treatment and that your partner be treated, and that neither of you have sex with each other or anybody else until 7 days after you take that treatment. In an effort to make it easier for people to be treated, in Alaska, there is a program called Expedited Partner Therapy. That means if you go into the doctor, find out that you've got the disease or are afraid that you've got gonorrhea or chlamydia and have some symptoms, the doctor may offer to treat you right that very day, even before the results come back from the lab. And they can offer treatment that you can take home to your partner. Of course, it would be best for your partner to come in and be treated and tested. But if that is not something that the partner is willing to do, the person who did make it to the doctor can take treatment home for their partner.
That sounds like a great resource and something that could be very helpful for a lot of people. Dr. Kathy Hyndman, thank you so much for joining yet again on KDLG. I really appreciate you taking some time. And just a shout out to everyone listening. Next week's topic is winter skincare. You can email doc@kdlg.org. That is doc@kdlg.org. And Dr. Kathy Hyndman will answer the questions that you send in to the best of her ability. You will remain anonymous. Only the doctor will see your email. Thank you so much for joining us, Kathy.
It has been such a pleasure, and my best to all in Bristol Bay. I truly miss you all.